This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
This morning I want to share around the fact that all things are possible with God. I guess it's obvious in one sense because He is God, after all. But sometimes we forget who He is. The past couple of weeks we were just sharing around who is God. Who is this God that loves us so much that gave His Son for us so that we may have life? Who is this God? You know, it's quite nerve-wracking preparing sermons. Because church is not about the quality of the worship or the eloquence of the sermon. Church really is about having an encounter with God. Having an encounter with God during worship and hearing His voice in the sermon. It's quite a humbling experience as I prepare and I ask God to reveal to me His heart for us. And it's with that humility that I also want to share with you this morning. I was reading just again the book of Luke, the first few chapters, just meditating on who is this God that we serve, who is this God that loves us so much, and just again Moses' prayer, Lord, teach me Your ways that I may know You. Teach me Your ways that I may know You. Who is this God? And 2 weeks ago, We shared around this concept that God is a humble God. And we looked at this humility that is expressed right from the incarnation to the death of Christ. And the way He lived His life in absolute humility as God. And as He came not to be served, but to serve. And we shared around this. And another aspect that stood out for me is who God uses. Not only is God a humble God, He uses the humble. He resists the proud, but He lifts up the humble. It's interesting to learn God's ways by seeing who He uses. Now, the virgin birth is quite a remarkable account and a revelation of who God is. And it's interesting the events that takes place around this powerful event where God sends His Son into the world. He sends Gabriel, the archangel, to an unknown, insignificant teenage girl to proclaim God's plan to her. And we read here from verse 28 in Luke chapter 1. Then He came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call His name Jesus. He will be great, and He will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give Him the throne of His father David, and He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of His kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin? How is this possible?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child will be born, will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived what is impossible, has also conceived a son. And this is the 6th month with her who was called barren." You see, medically, it was impossible for your relative to bear. But look, she is expectant with the son also. For nothing will be impossible with God. For nothing will be impossible for God. And Mary said, Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to your word. Who is this God that loves us so much? He's a humble God. And he chooses to use the humble. And nothing is impossible for him. Nothing is impossible for him. That is our key verse, for nothing will be impossible with God. The virgin birth is a remarkable and a significant event. But we don't have time to share around the significance of that. You can come to Bible school for that. We spend some time around that. But Mary's response is equally powerful. When the angel came to bring her the news of something that is impossible, her response was, Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. What a powerful response to something impossible. We see in her an absolute surrender and faith. An absolute surrender. She is saying, I am going to follow you wherever you lead. This is impossible, but I am your servant. I am your servant. I will follow you wherever. I am yours. An absolute surrender. But also an absolute faith. Let it be to me according to your word. You said it. That seals it. I will believe it. Who is this God? And who does he use? Now the angel points to Elizabeth and Zacharias, parents of John the Baptist. Something else that was impossible. I mean, he brings the word of God. He brings God's heart, God's plan, God's will. That is impossible because I am a virgin. And the angel points to her relatives, to Elizabeth, who at an old age, who was medically declared barren, conceiving a child. It reminds me of the word God gave Abram and Sarah when they were in their 90s. It was impossible to bear a child. But you see, nothing is impossible with God. Maybe here this morning, maybe you are here this morning, and I don't know why, but I just felt as I was preparing, maybe you are barren. Maybe you are struggling to conceive. Maybe you are medically, scientifically, unable to bear children. I really want to pray with you this morning. Because nothing is impossible with God. And if that is you, maybe I would love just to pray with you afterwards. But God's response to Sarah's response on her reality, on the doctor's report, on science, I'm 90 years old. I have tried for many years. It is impossible now. God's response to Sarah's response to the reality, to the doctor's report, to science, God's response was, is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son. Because nothing is impossible for God. And this point Jeremiah makes so clear in Jeremiah 32, verse 17, O sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched hand. Nothing is too hard for you. Who is this God that loves us so much? Well, nothing is too hard for him. Nothing is impossible for him. Job's life changed at the end with this revelation. He started his repentance this way. He said, I know that you can do everything, and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. How powerful is that? How powerful is that? And Job's life changed from that moment. Nothing is impossible for God. Nothing is impossible for God's will to be done. Nothing is impossible for God's will to be done. This is Luke 1 verse 37. For with God, nothing will be impossible. You know, my deepest confidence and our greatest hope, no matter what we face, no matter what we're going through in this life, nothing is impossible for God. Before you fall into despair or give up hope, nothing is too hard for God. Before you fall into despair or give up hope, nothing is too hard for God. Nothing is impossible for him. Here in Mark 10, Jesus declared, he looked to them and said, with man it is impossible, but not with God. For all things are possible with God. Here in Luke, he says, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. And as I was talking through this with God and just meditating upon his word, I came to two conclusions. Firstly, for the impossible to be made possible in my life, I have to be with God. For the impossible to be made possible in my life, I have to be with God. For with God, nothing is impossible. I cannot be opposing God. I must be with God. I must have faith. You see, Elizabeth had faith in God as she cried out to him as a barren woman in her old age. She prayed to God day and night to have a son. Abram had faith when God spoke to him. He even had faith to give his only son, to offer him up in a sacrifice, because he was thinking, even if I kill my son, God is able to do the impossible and raise him up again. You can read about that. And Mary had faith when God spoke to her about the impossible. You see, we need to have faith. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, without faith it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he is a rewarder of those who earnestly seek him. To be with God, we need faith. For the impossible to become possible, we need to have faith in God. We need to believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Jesus rebukes his disciples because they couldn't do what was impossible. So Jesus says to them, because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. See, for the impossible to become possible in my life, I need to have faith, and I need to have faith in God. But what is this faith? How big must this faith be? Well, Jesus says, as small as a mustard seed. It's not very big faith we need for the impossible to become possible. No, it's faith in God. It's not faith in faith or my ability to believe. It is my faith in trust in Him that His will be done, that nothing is too hard for Him and nothing is impossible for Him. Here in Mark, a man comes to Jesus pleading for his son who is dying. As a matter of fact, in this case, it was his son that was tormented by an evil spirit. And they've tried everything. All the doctors have tried. All the medicine has failed. So here comes this man pleading with Jesus for a miracle for his son. And here in Mark 9 we read, it has often thrown him into the fire or water to kill him. But if you can do something, if you can do anything for him, take pity on us and help us. If you can. And Jesus stops him mid-sentence. If I can? If I can? Everything is possible for the one who believes. Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. How often do I identify with this father? Yes, Lord, I believe. Help me in my unbelief. It was that very moment that the father's son was healed. Not because of his great faith, but because he had faith the size of a mustard seed. And he was humble before God. He says, God, I do believe, but help me in my unbelief. I'm sure many of us can identify with this man. I do believe, but at the same time, I'm struggling to believe. But at that very moment, that man's son was healed. God had grace. God's grace was upon this man. And God's grace is with us in our struggle to believe. But if you can, it's the wrong way to approach God. Because nothing is too hard for Him. Nothing is impossible. That's why I say, nothing will be impossible for those who believe. There is something else I discovered in my life about faith in God and the impossible. This brings me to the second reality of faith. I remember I was a young man and God laid on my heart to lead an intercessory march, a Jericho march around the country, literally to travel the outside borders of this nation and every 100 kilometers to stop and to pray for this nation. And we did it for 7 years. Every year, December holidays, we traveled 5,000 kilometers. We couldn't walk it. It took too long, so we cycled it. We cycled 5,000 kilometers in 6 weeks. Every 100 kilometers, we stopped. We had intercession to hear God's voice. And then we came together and shared, and then we had another intercession time for about 2 to 3 hours, just praying God's heart into this nation. And this was just a massive logistical challenge to arrange 43 different locations for accommodation and all the meals and all the logistics of taking 15 cyclists around the country. And then following that group, there was another team, an outreach team that preached the gospel at all the towns that we went through. And we had to arrange two different locations in every town that we went through. One in the township, one in the city center. And it took me months to arrange this. I literally had to go by car to each and every town, go into Caledon, see the center of town, where's space for an outreach to be done, drive to the location or the township to see where's open space, where can you get electricity, who's in charge. It was a massive amount of logistics that had to take place. It took a long time to do, 6 months to plan, to prepare, and a week before we were meant to leave, the traffic department denied us access on the road because we were traveling along the N2 from here to PEPE, Durban, through Swaziland, all along the Kruger National Park, turning around Pretoria, then to Springbok back. That's the short version. A week before we meant to leave, the traffic department denied our access on the national road. Here I stand in faith, hearing God's word that we need to pray for this nation. We need to do a Jericho march. Everything has been done. And now we get this report. It's over. You're not allowed to go anymore. And I turned to God and I cried out to God and I said, God, how can it be possible? You said we must do this. I believe this is what you said. I've done everything. And then God gave me this word in John. 1 John 5 verse 4 says, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes our faith. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And I had to make a decision. I had to make a decision right there because I had to send out articles to the newspapers informing them of this tour. And I was a young man. I was an intern in ministry. It was my first year in the ministry. And I had to make a decision. Am I going to believe God or am I going to believe the circumstances? And I made a choice there to stand up. I said, God, I know this is born of you. Therefore, it will overcome the world. Because whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory of faith. So I stood up from that place and I sent out the articles to all the local newspapers. 3 days before we were meant to leave. 3 days before we were meant to leave. One of the cyclists were flying from Johannesburg to Cape Town to join the tour. And she happened to be seated next to the Minister of Transport. And she had a conversation with the Minister of Transport concerning this trip and her great disappointment that it is cancelled. And the minister said, you know what? I can do something about that. 3 days. 3 days before the time. You see, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. But this is the victory that overcomes the world. Our faith. Because nothing is too hard for God. Nothing is impossible for Him. But we need to have faith. Nothing is impossible for God, for His will. And I need to say that because sometimes we want to twist God's arm for our will. God is not a genie in a bottle that we can command to our beckoning. No, we are His servant to do His will, but there's nothing impossible for His will. It was God's will that Isaac should be born. Even though it was impossible for Abram and Sarah to conceive, it was God's will for Isaac to be born. You see, it was God's will for John to be born, even though medically his mother was barren and of old age. No, it was God's will. You see, it was God's will for Jesus to be born, even though science proves it's impossible to conceive without seed. But it was God's will, and nothing is too hard for God, and nothing is impossible for His will. That's why 1 John continues, chapter 5, verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have towards Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have asked of Him. See, that was Jesus' prayer in the garden. While He was sweating blood in agony and fear, His petition was simply this: Abba, Father, all things are possible for You. Take this cup away from Me. Nevertheless, not My will be done, Your will be done. This brings me to the third point and my last. I realized something. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But the context is so powerful, and we miss that so often. Let's read it in Philippians 4. It says, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. For I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You see, the greatest miracle is not always the circumstance changing, but rather me changing. See, what I thought was going to be my end, the circumstances that needs to change, my cry to God to deliver me from the circumstances, to set me free. The greatest miracle is not my deliverance from my circumstances, but my ability to go through the circumstances. And that was Jesus' prayer. That was Jesus' miracle. Not His deliverance from death, but His ability to overcome death. Not His escape from the circumstances, but God enabling Him to go through the circumstances to the other side. Maybe your greatest miracle is the same. Sometimes we cry out to God in the midst of our circumstances, in the midst of our need, our lack, and our hunger. And we look to God to provide, to change the circumstances and to bring deliverance. But sometimes the greatest miracle is God enabling me, despite my depression, my unemployment, my hunger, my sickness, no matter what it is, that God enables you to go through it, so that you can stand on the other side and say, my Redeemer lives. My Savior is real. Because what I was unable to face, He faced with me. And I could overcome. Because nothing is impossible with God. We need to have faith in God. We need to trust Him. We need to trust that He is a good God, that He has a plan for my life, and that is to give me a future and a hope. I must stop here, otherwise my sermon is going to get too long. But if you're in the will of God, if you're in the will of God, you are safe. Because He's a good God. It doesn't matter what happens in this life, He remains a good God. Nothing is too hard for him. Nothing is impossible for him. He is either going to still the storm or take you through the storm, but nothing will be impossible for those who believe. It doesn't matter what you are facing in your life. He's either going to quiet your storm or he's going to take you through the storm. But you're going to get to the other side. Because nothing is too hard for him. Nothing is impossible for him. That's Romans 8 verse 28. And we know that all things work together for the good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. All things work together for good. In other words, nothing is impossible for God. It doesn't matter what circumstances you are in, nothing is impossible for God to work it for your good. Because he's a good God. To those who love God, it says here, and we know that all things work together for good for those who love God. That was Mary's response. Lord, I am your servant. I am the one that follows you wherever you go. I'm the one who loves you with everything. You see, if you love God, if you follow God, nothing is too hard for God. Nothing is impossible for him. He will turn your circumstances for your good. And we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Mary's response was, let it be to me according to your word. Not my will be done, but your will be done. You see, we don't know the end of our lives. We don't know the journey of tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow and the day after and the year after that. I don't know my future. I only know my God. And he is faithful, he is good, and he has promised never to leave me, never to forsake me, and no matter what happens in life, he will turn it for my good. So my faith, my hope, and my confidence is in him. And therefore, I am not afraid about tomorrow, because I love my God. And I am his servant, and I have surrendered my life, and I say, Lord, I am your servant. Do with me as you will, and I will follow you. And if this leads to the valley of the shadow of death, I will not be afraid, because you are with me, in front of me, and I am following you. It gives me great boldness, courage, and confidence in this life, because I have surrendered everything to him. That is the key of the impossible becoming possible in our lives, when we surrender everything to him. This morning, you may be going through a trial, tribulation, uncertainty. If you're not sure, if you don't have peace about tomorrow or what the future may bring, I really believe this message is for you this morning. I'd love to pray with you. And for some of us, you might face the impossible. I don't know if it's a doctor's report, science, or your age. I don't know what is impossible in front of you, but I know God is saying to you, nothing is impossible for me. And he's asking you this question, is anything too hard for me? Maybe God has spoken to you. Maybe God has given you a dream. Maybe God has given you a purpose. I don't know what it is, whether it's sickness or health or fear, but God is saying this morning to you, nothing is impossible for me. I would love to pray with you. And then there's a third group of people that I believe God is speaking to this morning. He says, you need to surrender your life to me, like Mary did. You are still holding back. And God is saying, listen to my servant Mary. Lord, I am your servant. May it be done to me according to your word. God longs to do the impossible in your life. He's just waiting for you. He's just waiting for you to surrender all. Maybe you are here this morning and you haven't surrendered your life to God yet. Or maybe only partly. This morning the Lord is calling you, I believe, to surrender all as you follow Him. Let us pray. Father, I thank you for your life. God, I thank you that you love us so much that you gave your Son so that we may have life. Lord, this morning as we come before you, Lord, we humble ourselves to your word, not only to acknowledge that you are God, almighty, all-powerful, but God, nothing is too hard for you. Nothing is impossible to you. No matter what the doctor says, no matter what science says, no matter what circumstance might bring, nothing is impossible for you. And we believe in you. We believe that you exist. We believe that you are a rewarder of those who earnestly seek you. God, we come before you and you alone. And we humble ourselves. We open our lives to you. And we say, God, come in and help me. Help me in my unbelief. As we surrender ourselves to you this morning, God, we invite you to come. Lord, as you speak and as you have spoken to so many of us, Lord, you have spoken today. Nothing new was shared about your word, except that what we already know. Yet, Holy Spirit, this morning, you remind us of this. You've already spoken. You've already promised. You've already given your Son to die so that we might know how much you love. And you rose him from the dead so that we might know that nothing is impossible for you. Because science says the dead cannot rise. Not after 3 days. But you showed us that nothing is too hard for you. Nothing is impossible. And the word that you said, the word that you promised about this Jesus, it came to be. So this morning, God, as we come into your presence, Lord, I want to pray for those who are facing trials and tribulations and uncertainty and are not at peace. And if that is you this morning, I just want you to respond to God by just raising your hand. Say, God, this is I. Lord, I'm facing the impossibility. Lord, I'm going through a trial. Lord, I'm going through tribulation. Lord, I fear the future. I'm not sure what tomorrow will bring, Lord. But I thank you, God, that I can humble myself before you and say, here I am, Lord. I believe. Help me in my unbelief. You are a good God. And maybe this morning you are here and you face the impossible. You are facing the impossible, and I don't know your impossibility. I don't know if it's a doctor's report or it's years of experience. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's your bank account. I don't know what it is, but I believe God is speaking to you. If that is you, just raise your hand and say, God, here I am, Lord. I am facing what I think is impossible. But this morning, God, I choose to believe. Help me. Help me in my unbelief. And then this morning, you can drop your hands. This morning, I believe there's some of us here that God is calling. He is calling us to surrender everything. Say, God, I'm going to surrender my life to you. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you with everything, Lord. I'm going to let go what I built my confidence and my hope in that is not in you. But I'm going to surrender. I'm going to give you my life, Lord. I'm going to give you everything. If that is you this morning, I also believe you just need to respond. Just say, God, here I am, Lord. Thank you for those hands. I want to ask you to do something bold. We're all going to stand and we're going to worship together. But if you've raised your hand, I want you to come forward and we're going to pray for you. We're going to pray this very simple prayer. Lord, I believe. Help me in my unbelief. And in doing so, I think it's just a statement of faith. For some of you, it's like stepping out of the boat where Peter stood up and got out of the boat. And as he did so, God enabled him to walk. If that is you, if you've raised your hand, I want to ask you to quickly come forward and we're going to pray with you. We're going to pray for the impossible to become possible. We're going to ask for God to come into your circumstances, into your fears, into the impossibility, and to make it possible. So I want to ask those who've raised their hands, if you can quickly come forward, the ushers and the facilitators, if you can come and help to pray. As a matter of fact, we all can stand and we're just going to worship the Lord as we minister to those who the Lord has been speaking. If God has been speaking to you, come. Don't be afraid. Don't hold back. Just step out in faith. If it's simply, Lord, I believe, but help me in my unbelief, come. Because as with that man, God's grace was there in the midst of his struggle. So don't hold back. Come to him so that he may do what is impossible for you to do. What is impossible for the doctors to do? What is impossible for circumstances around you? Just come to God. Because nothing is too hard for Him. Let us worship together. Facilitators, if you can help us pray. For those of you that is just worshiping, just take this moment and just reflect on God's Word in your own life. Just reflect it in your own words. Just respond to Him according to His Word. Just seal this word in your heart. Father, I pray and I thank you, Lord, for your word this morning. That it's not my words, it's your words. I cannot change, you change. And Lord, I pray that your words will remain. Mine will be forgotten, but yours will remain in every heart. Lord, may it be imprinted in our minds, Lord. May it not leave our thoughts as we remind ourselves that nothing is impossible for you. Nothing is impossible for you, Lord. So I pray this week, Lord, that we will have faith. And if we struggle, that we will be humble enough to say, Lord, help me. But I will not let go of you. And God, I thank you for what you're going to do in our lives. Lord, thank you that storms you're going to still. Circumstances you're going to change. For some. And for others, you're going to give us the strength to go through the storm, to go through the circumstances, and we will remain on the other hand. On the other side, we will stand and we will look back and say, God, you are faithful, for you have done what I could not conceive, what I could not think of. You made a way where there seemed to be no way. I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us just pray.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.